I am Josh Felber. Welcome back. You're watching Making Bank. I'm here today with an awesome, unbelievable guest. His name is Wesley Chapman. Wesley works with hundreds of youths and adults on a monthly basis, moving them from where they are to where they want to be. Wesley is an expert on human behavior and development. His teachings are being used by hundreds of individuals, schools, government entities, blogs, podcasts, and families across the globe. When Wesley was one, he was abandoned by his father. Then at 6 and a half, by his mother as well. He has tried to commit suicide over 12 times before his 16th birthday. He was abused in every way imaginable and possible, and he survived and is on a mission to help over 25 million more survive. Wesley Chapman has been an entrepreneur since the age of 8 years old and was self-sufficient by the time he was 16. He started consulting CEOs of Fortune 500 companies at the age of 19. Wesley has learned that the most important part of being an entrepreneur is to hold your head up high in your failures and stay humble in your successes. Wesley is the founder of the A Human Project, a for-purpose 501c3 with a mission to create a community of empowered youth. He is also the founder of Superhuman Life, a program designed to ensure ultimate understandings of one's true potential. Wesley's experiences in life and skills in the entrepreneurial community have prepared him for what is now his greatest life's mission, creating a world of hope. He has appeared on Fox, ABC, A&E, and many other national broadcast platforms. And just a little side note, he says if he had more time for me to read this, it would have been way longer. And he would have talked about how he was a model and is just all around sexy. Wesley, welcome to Making Bank.
Thanks for having me, Josh. I appreciate it.
Sure, man. Definitely. Wow. I mean, just the background alone and just the struggles, it sounds like, that you went through to get to where you are today. Can you dive in and kind of just expand on that a little bit and just kind of bring us up to speed?
Yeah, I mean, the bio there kind of gives the basics of it. My dad leaving when I was one, my mom leaving when I was 6 and a half. And between the ages of 1 and 6 and a half, I had a stepfather who was very, very abusive. Oh. And actually continued abuse in my life until I was about 18 years old, but there's just a lot of stories in there.
Sure.
But as a child, I don't know, I believe that we all have certain gifts or cores of who we are that when we come onto this planet, however you believe we get here is irrelevant to it. I believe that there's certain things that are just there from birth. I mean, I have two children and they're completely different. They do everything on, you know, different scales. But for me, I've always been a fighter. And the thing that I had three brothers and sisters that were in that home with me, and I was the only one that got out, at least as young as I did. Everyone eventually started getting out, and when I got older, I went back and made sure they did. But as a child, I was very, very self-sufficient even as a youngster. I mean, my first memory of helping my brothers and sisters was when my mom and stepdad left for a long enough period of time that I had to change diapers and make food. It's been debated how long that was, but it was long enough that I was taking care of three younger siblings at four.
So
that just kind of gives you a perspective there. But so I've always had this kind of innate ability to just fight through shit, like literally.
Right.
And so I credit a lot of my success to that. There's no outside of that. I'm not superhuman. I'm not, you know, some superhero or anything like that, even though I tend to call myself Iron Man. But that's, you know, that's just for fun. But the reality is that I believe we all have certain gifts, and mine, it has just been to be able to fight. And so as my life progressed, entrepreneurialism was never something that I had planned. I didn't have any entrepreneurs in my you know, sights. There wasn't anyone role modeling me, nothing like that. It was simply a survival thing. I was 8.5 years old, and it was either figure out how to make money or I was going to be back in, on the street and in the system.
Sure.
And neither one of those two things I wanted to do. So I had a very keen understanding of money at a very young age. I knew what money, why money was so important. That was the reason my dad left, supposedly. That was the reason my mom dropped me off. You know, everyone had been telling me that because there's no money, this is why you live this life. And I'm like, well, this seems like a simple solution. Let's just get money.
Right.
And so that was the driving force, and it just propelled into a whole career and life and, you know, tons of stories.
Sure. Yeah, and it's just, you see so much of that out there still these days with, you know, the abuse and just the neglect with children and everything. And that's awesome. You got two great kids as well. I mean, I have three kids myself. And so, I mean, it's just those kind of things just don't ever run through your head at that point. And you want to give them the best and create and nurture them, you know, for success and everything. And obviously a lot of that, it sounds like, you know, structured and framed kind of where your mindset was going to be, that you've been able to utilize it for the positive and, you know, create things in your life to really grow and flourish and nourish and everything around you. What are some of the, I guess, the things that you attribute, or, you know, how did you develop certain specific parts of that mindset to be able to overcome the different challenges and everything that you had when you were younger?
You know, that's a great question, because again, I mean, I got an amazing role model who I call mom. She's not my, you know, biological mom, but I call her mom for all intents and purposes. So, she was a fighter. She was single when she started to try to get me. She ended up marrying a guy who was again abusive. It was kind of like this pattern that just kept happening in my life, but, she was a fighter, always has been. She, about 6 months after she brought me into the home, she became disabled. She was the first ever female government employee to be diagnosed with fibromyalgia in the 80s, which nobody even knew what it was back then. They just kind of thought it was an excuse that you didn't want to come to work. She was always kind of just showing me that if you just keep pushing, if you just keep trying, amazing things will happen. But it wasn't probably until I was 16 years old and I was actually faced with literally dying. As you had mentioned, I tried to commit suicide 12 times before my 16th birthday. Those are 12 documented times. Wow. So there were many other times that, you know, just didn't make it, meaning many times that I sat in my room saying, I can't do this anymore. But at 16 years old, my liver failed. Since the age of 4.5, I was on drugs for, you know, labels and different things like that. So at 16, I was on about 20 to 25 different pills every day.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were for the diagnoses. Some of them were for the side effects. Some of them were for the side effects of the side effect drugs. It was just this perpetual deal. So at 16, my liver just said, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this anymore. And that was really the awakening moment in my life, because up to that point, you know, I'd been abused, all these different things had happened. But up to that point, I was the one that was saying that my life was going to be over. So it was kind of this weird control thing where I was the one. And now all of a sudden, these men in white coats, the doctors, which I didn't have a lot of respect for, because they just, everything that they had promised wasn't reality. And this is a teenage mindset. And so at this point, they're telling me I'm going to die. And it was kind of this rebellion that I had. I just had a great conversation with one of our mutual friends, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Sure.
There's a little bit of rebellion that has to kind of be part of the DNA of an entrepreneur, because we're rebelling against so many systems, right? Like,
right.
Get a job, 401k, all this stuff that's like not what we do. So there's and if somebody tells us, you know, he and I had a running joke. I wear these green shoes every time I go out and speak, part of our brand, and I bought him a pair of these shoes, and he and I were speaking together on a stage, and I said, wear these shoes like 3 or 4 times in an email, right?
Sure.
And he forgets them, and then he uses the excuse that because I told him to do it, he wouldn't do it. So we ended up having this like philosophical debate backstage about like, that's just kind of DNA of an entrepreneur. So as soon as these guys tell me you're going to die, I'm like, F you.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
I'm not going to die. And it was this kind of this switch for me that happened. And so just tapping into who I was and getting really honest with myself. Now I've like programmatically made this possible for other people to copy. Sure. But the first step was just getting super, super honest and going through all these different things in my life, getting honest with the feelings I had about my father, my stepfather, the abuse, the system, the government, my biological mom, all these different things, and realizing that at 16, I was still empowering them,
right,
not empowering myself. And as soon as I had that shift, in fact, one of the statements that I made all the time was, I'm going to prove you guys wrong. And that sounds really like empowering and cool and, you know, superhero-esque. But the problem is that psychologically what you're telling yourself is that there's something right to what they're saying. And so you've right. got to prove them wrong. So the simple little shift that I made, probably about 17, 18 years old, was I'm done proving everybody wrong. I'm simply just going to prove myself right. Completely different mindset, completely Definitely. Different perspective of life. It's really like tiny, tiny, simple things that make us, you know, have the ability to get through the shit in our lives. It's not these miraculous, crazy, you know, meditation, 40 hours on some monk farm. That may be awesome.
Right.
But the reality is life is simple. You know, it's just these little simple twists of how we see things. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, now I'm in control. Now I'm in power. Now I'm the one that's making my choices. Okay, I can do this. I can make this happen. So that's really where the shift started to happen for me. And now, like now, you know, I mean, in marketing, it's cute to say like, oh, I had this all figured out. No, I didn't. I looked backwards in my life and said, how did I do that? Okay, here's a program. Sure. Okay, now let me put it out into the marketplace.
Awesome. Hey, can you stick around for a minute? We got
love to
take a quick break, and I'd love to have you back.
Awesome.
Great. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that ah feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome back. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. And we've been speaking with Wesley Chapman, who has been diving into his background and what has helped him be flourish and become successful now in his life through all the different challenges and being able to create a mindset to allow, that allowed him to overcome everything and get to where he is today. Wesley, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Sure. So we kind of left off and you were just talking a little bit about, you know, I guess your mindset and the challenges that, you know, you've overcome, which is, you know, prepared you for where you are today. What, you know, as you were moving now, kind of into your teens and you're like, okay, I want to be and live for who I am and really take control of my life. Now, where's that next kind of move now that it's start to position you? Because I think at 19, you said you were consulting for Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an overnight deal, right? Like, right. There is no overnight success, whether you're talking about the financial or the mental side.
Right.
It takes time. And so the first part of it was just realization. It was just the honesty. I mean, just to get really raw with everybody for a moment, even the sexual torture that I went through as a small child, here I am at 16 years old. That particular man had not touched me for 9 years.
Okay.
And yet I was still replaying those things. I was still in this victim mentality. And so I have a quote that we share with the kids, and we have this t-shirt and everything that we hand out. And it says, put the victim to bed and wake the hero up instead. And it's the concept that we get ourselves stuck in the story. And we allow that story to control us, or the person in that story to control us. And that's what I was doing very specifically, is I was still allowing that man to control me. So the first thing is that realization, that awakening. And then as I progressed through, and you know, there were still many dark nights, so many dark times in this journey, but it just put me in a power play. It was just,
right.
I was in control. And so healing began to happen because I started to just let go of things. I started to just realize that, yes, that stuff happened. But at this point, it was my fault for still holding on to that, which sounds really raw to somebody who's been something horrible to look
sure.
at them and say, look, this is your fault. But there's also something very liberating and powerful about that, and saying, okay, wait a minute. if this is my fault, then that means I can control something. And when you've been abused or you've had horrible things happen in your life, the one thing you feel the most is out of control. One thing you feel the most is somebody's taken something from you. And sure. The only way to get that back is to take ownership of all of that stuff. You can't pick and choose. You can't be like, well, I'm only going to take ownership of this and I'm only going to take one. No, it's like, if you want to be in total power, you got to take it all back. So
right.
That's what I started doing probably between the ages of 19 and 26, was just really starting to own all this stuff and really starting to pull it together and started to fill in the gaps. You know, I hadn't ever met my father, so I reached out when I was 26 to meet him. I was lying to everyone. That's where the nickname Iron Man actually comes out, is when I was in full mode entrepreneurship in the traditional sense. You know, I was wearing $4,000 suits. I was driving nice cars. I was going into business meetings. And all I cared about was, how much money are we going to make you? How much money are you going to make me? And how fast can we do it? I didn't care about your daughter and your friends. And I mean, I pretended, you know, because that's how you make sales. But in the honesty side of it, I was like, I'm not going to get to know you because I'm never going to allow you to get to know me.
Sure.
And because of the shame, you know, where's your dad? Why do you live with this old lady? Why is she, you know, why can't she walk? Why can't this stuff happen? Like, I had so much shame about who I was that I put on this shield, this Iron Man suit. That's what it really came down to. And just like the comic book, eventually he takes off that and he gets raw and he takes out the piece and he's himself. And that really is what my journey was from about 26 to 30, was really just accepting who I was, embracing that, sharing that story. That's key to kind of getting through this kind of stuff. And then just reevaluating my priorities in life. And everything shifted from there. I mean, everything, monetarily, spiritually, mentally, everything. It was just like this, almost like it sounds cheesy, but like a rebirth, where I was just like, okay, this is who I am. I'm comfortable in this. And that's kind of the last step, is that I look at this and I say, I've had this awareness. I started this healing by taking ownership and controlling these things. And now I'm standing in this amazing power, this amazing concept of reality of who I am. Now I can step out into the world and do some amazing shit. And it's comfortable and it's re-energizing and all the things that, you know, it's like, oh, how do you get enough energy? Well, drink coffee. Oh, how do you do this? You know, go here. I don't do anything. I mean, like, I just live life. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol. I don't do any foreign medication. I don't do anything.
Sure.
It's all just the passion of life. And of course, you know, I have a really good diet and all that stuff. But outside of that, like, it's very simple, because I'm so comfortable in who I am. I'm not worried about anything. You mentioned I was a child model. That was part of just like survival.
Right.
And I was a cute kid. Some stuff started happening and now I'm not anymore. But, but I was also very, like, I wouldn't say egotistical, that's the wrong word, but I was constantly looking in the mirror and seeing ugly. I was constantly, you know, not seeing enough, all these different things. And now I don't care. You know, like, I did my hair this morning for our interview in the dark, so I hope it looks all right. But I mean, it's just like,
me too.
You know, it's just, yeah, right. Hey, I'm heading your way, bro. Like, I'll be there soon. That's why I don't do any behind the headshots anymore. But no, it's so invigorating, and it's so much, you know, standing in power when, and it's not like, you know, accepting you and all these different things. It's really just being you. Like,
right.
And there's so many processes to that, and it's not a simple journey. I mean, I started this when I was 16, and sitting in this chair, I can say I feel like I'm really there, but every day and every experience and every time I open up, I mean, I just had, and I still do, they're still passed out because we were up till about 2 a.m. just talking. I had some friends over last night, and we just started like diving deep into stuff. And even for me, I'm like, oh, this is a realization. This puts me in a, you know, even more. So it's a constant journey.
Sure.
But I would definitely say, you know, give yourself time if you're going through some things and you're trying to figure stuff out. And that applies to everything.
And definitely, I mean, just you packed so much stuff in that last little section there of our conversation. It's, you know, any of what, you know, just said from, you know, the part of it is self-realization to, you know, just becoming, aware and then knowing who you are. I think there's so many times, you know, you meet people and they've gone through life, but they don't really know who they are.
Yeah.
And
or they're terrified of who they are.
Or they're terrified, definitely. And
yeah.
And all this can be applied to our growth as an entrepreneur, you know, our growth as a better mother or father, you know, our growth as a better friend and, you know, spiritual, you know, leader in our community and stuff as well. And, you know, by really sitting down and diving in and addressing, you know, if we've had different challenges, we've had struggles, you know, similar to you, you know, within our lives. And, you know, starting to know who we are will help us become stronger and better overall.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that I always get asked, you know, what's the key to your success or the key to success or all these different, sure. Like everyone wants the recipe, right? And while I believe there's elements of the recipe, everybody's bowl is different, right? Everyone's right. Going to bake a different cake and it's going to have different things, but we're all going to make cake at some level. I would say though, that one of the keys to knowing what your ingredients are is just being real and understanding your weaknesses and your strengths and working sure. on what you're good at and focusing on that. So many times we try to take something that maybe we're not super good at and we want to devote all this energy to make ourselves better at that. Why? You know, that's the real question. Why are you doing that? A lot of the times it's a social pressure. It's something that somebody said. You read some book that said all entrepreneurs must have this and you're like, shit, I don't have that. So I must, you know, I got to work on that. That's all garbage. You know, the reality is focus on what you're really good at. Like LeBron James, he's had opportunities to play as a tight end in the NFL. They said he'd be one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history, right? Supposedly. Yep. He's one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. Like, it's really cute that he would want to go into the NFL. Maybe. I don't know. Let's go to Michael Jordan, right? Greatest NBA player to ever play the game. And he's like, oh, I have a skill at baseball. Let me go try that. Yeah, that worked out really well, right? No, it didn't. Like he came back, won a couple more championships at what he was good at. So too many times we try to focus on our weaknesses and we put all this energy into being less weak, right? For whatever reason. And if it's a real thing that you're working on, your temper or something like that, I totally get that. But if it's you're doing it because of social pressure, stop it. Go over to where you're what things you're really good at and put the energy there and become a master, right? Like become a master in that aspect. I don't know. There's some philosopher that talks about like chasing rabbits or something. And he goes on for like 600 pages about rabbits. And the reality is that, you know, the man that chases two rabbits catches none. That's the end, right? There you go. I've summarized the book for you. The concept is like, even in that, like you're chasing this weakness and you're also trying to be strong at something. And what ends up happening is neither one do anything.
Right.
So that self-realization in any aspect, being a father, being a lover, being an entrepreneur, once you're just honest with yourself and then you accept those things, your life is totally going to change. And that also goes down this whole good wolf, you know, bad wolf, dark wolf, light wolf crap. Right. I hate that. This whole concept of, you know, ignore your dark side or ignore your dark wolf or whatever. No, like embrace that. And because we all have it, we're human. Sure. There's biology in all of us. There are certain characteristics that we all have.
Right.
And for me, like I'm very aggressive. I'm very like, let me take action. Let me take charge. When I was younger, that was a problem because I didn't know how to control that. Now with the work that I do in a human project and the horrific stories that I hear from these kids, I've learned how to take all of that kind of, I'd call it maybe dark energy, the world would, whatever, of being really aggressive and, you know, I have no fear in so many different aspects. And I've harnessed that into our project where we'll do things that 90% of charities won't do, like go into some guy's house who's, you know, beating up on his daughter or doing something to mom. And we're going to have a face-to-face conversation about it. It's not about shaming that person, but getting them help. And let me tell you, I've been in some really interesting freaky situations and I've had to rely on that aggressive darkness, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, to come in and be in a light situation.
Sure.
And that's a process, but so many of us want to ignore, you know, like, oh, I don't have that weakness or I have that weakness and I'm going to put all this energy over here. And then it's like, you know, the strengths waving at us being like, hey, if you focused on this, you'd have so much more fun in life. And you're like, shut up, I'm already good at that. It's like, yeah, but you can practice.
Right. No, yeah, you're 100% correct. And, you know, I think focusing more on our strengths, because you, like you said, you hear so much, oh, hey, work on your weaknesses. I mean, I remember that growing up all the time. That was the thing to do and everything. So, but Yeah, definitely. And I want to dive in a little bit because we're getting low on time. I want to dive in a little bit about A Human Project. Learn a little about what you're doing there. You know, what people can do to help, you know, help you with that, and you know, what kind of differences that you're making out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So in my bio you read, and it was funny, I've got to update this. You said that I'm on a mission to impact 25 million lives. 3 years ago, there's a whole long journey. I was at the top of the entrepreneur world, had the cars, had the house, had the,
sure,
you know, had everything you're supposed to have. And like many entrepreneurs, I sat back and went, this sucks. And, you know, just had this aha moment. That was about 6 years ago. And there's a whole long journey into it, which I've shared on some other interviews and some other places. But the short end of it is about 3 years ago, I started telling my story and speaking. And it just kept catapulting into different things. Domino effects happened. I ended up speaking at a school, met a young girl named Alexandra. She changed my whole life. And that's when we founded A Human Project. And A Human Project's mission is to create a community of empowered youth. And when I sat back and I was like, I want to have a really ambitious, crazy goal, because that's how I'm wired. I want to do something that everyone tells me I can't do. So I'm sitting down, and the number 25 is very, very special to me. It's actually really weird. Like if you do my birthday, it's 25, no matter how you spin it, how you move the numbers around. Nice. My daughter was born when I was 25. My dad left me when he was 25, like, wow, 25 pills a day. There's all these 25s, sure, in my life. They're actually creepy. I gave a whole keynote once on it. So I was like, okay, 25, what's a big 25 number? Oh, 20, there's not 25 billion people on the planet. So right, 25 million. So I made this goal. Well, what's been interesting is over the last 3 years, that number is like almost irrelevant, because we've had so much impact through social media and videos and success, sure, speaking. I'm getting ready to go on tour March 1st. I'll be on tour from March 1st till April 13th. The rough estimate of children that I'll be in front of in that period of time. And that, I mean, like, I'm not home. I'm completely on the road speaking, wow, working with kids, living with families, doing a bunch of stuff. My team let me know that there'll be somewhere between 30 and 50,000 kids that we'll be in front, wow, of in that time. And so I stopped and I thought, 25 million, like, that's not even big enough now. And so the reality is that we want to impact a billion people on this planet. And not just in like a kind of sort of way, but a direct way.
Sure. Through,
whether it's like an interview like this, whether it's our online material, whether it's our, you know, we have a whole program for youth that's all digital. We're in 8 countries now. I mean, that was my big thing, is like, I don't want to create a movement or a nonprofit that's, you know, territory around San Diego or LA or California, right, or the Midwest or whatever. If I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be vulnerable and share my story, if I'm going to go out there and try to make a difference in the world, I don't want to say, yeah, I'm making a difference in the world, but we're in San Diego. Nothing against, sure, that. But for me, I want it to be literal. Like, we're making a difference in the world.
Right.
So now we have a goal, and it's legit. Like, we want to impact a billion people on this planet who are suffering with these mental illnesses, who are dealing with stories, who are stuck in the mud, who are, you know, children who are living in dysfunction. That's the best way to describe it.
Sure.
And we have an epidemic in this country that's spreading through the world with, you know, this consumerism, this, you know, fight for the next best thing. And there's so many different, that's just like one aspect, but that's a massive one. You know, parents are working, dads are working 2 jobs, mom's working 1, and kids who the parents may love are sitting at home completely neglected. And that's creating a whole nother cycle of life. That's why we see so many of the millennial generation that's not interested in family anymore, because they, right, don't even understand family. So there's so much going on in this world. And then on top of that, you have the extreme abuse, and you have the things that, you know, that we definitely focus on. But it's not just that. Like, we don't just work with children who are molested or, you know, beaten. We're working with kids who legitimately are living in dysfunction. And the most damaging psychological thing we do as humans is neglect. So sure, it's the most, yeah, damaging thing we can do to a young child. And there's some natural neglect that just happens as being a parent, because you don't, you know, it's a unique human being. We don't know all the different things about them, nor do they know all the things about themselves. And so there's just like natural neglect that happens. But we're putting on top of that so much extra pressure in our lives that we're neglecting our children on a whole nother level. And we don't have, you know, when you study history, We don't have the camaraderie that happens as families. You know, men right. aren't running farms, women aren't running houses like they used to, and the children aren't assisting in those things anymore. So it's just, there's evolution. It's just part of the process. But when I look at it, I see all these different warning signs. I see how our children are dealing with this. On average, if I speak to 1,000 children, 200 will come forward with legitimate like things, not like I'm struggling with this, but right. legitimate deals. Wow. Out of that 200, you know, 10 to 15 of them will need child protective services. And that's just what we've seen
right.
by being in the trenches, going there. And I don't care if it's, you know, La Jolla, California, or, you know, someplace in South Dakota. It just doesn't matter.
Sure.
There's human unity, regardless of income status or regardless of state, whatever. And that's, you know, that's a big deal to me. Like, we can make a change. We can make a difference. We can use technology. We can use all the skills that I did in entrepreneur marketing strategy, all this stuff, to create a massive change and a global movement that happens. And I personally love working with kids because literally in a couple of days, they can make shifts that change their entire lives. We're adults.
Awesome.
We need that 40-week, you know, stay at a monk retreat because we have so much programming that has to be
right.
deprogrammed. With a kid, they're just looking for an answer, a logical, no BS, you know, don't try to sugarcoat it to me answer. They just want to know the truth.
Sure.
And I tell this to parents all the time, either it's going to come from you or YouTube, your choice. So, you know, might as well give them the real answer. So anyway,
wow.
I'm short on time, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, just the level of engagement that you're out there with the kids. And I mean, like you say, getting in the homes and everything. And I think that is so important that, like you were talking about, the neglect part of it is, I mean, I was just reading a book, Grace-Based Parenting, and he
yeah.
was talking about a huge chunk is, I mean, you know, the kids just want that love. They want that connection to that parent or that person. And so many times they're starved of that. And that's why mm-hmm. they tend to go find other things to try to replace that.
Exactly. And every child is different. You can have a perfect family and still have a kid that finds drugs, right?
Sure.
You can have, perfect, I use, you know, air quotes in the sense of no family is perfect, but really it just comes down to spending the time as a parent to really get to know that child and help them know themselves, right?
Right.
Like not force on them our ideas of greatness, right? So as a dad, when my daughter was born, I was like, you're going to walk when you're 6 months, you're going to be talking, like, and to her, did that matter? I have no idea, you know, but to me, it was a big deal. You know, she's a very bright girl. She's the smartest in our family, all that fun stuff.
Right.
But as when my son came along and I'd had some maturity, I was like, you know what, dude, like you do you. Like I'm going to help you figure out what you want to do. If you want to lay there for like 6 years, lay there for 6 years, you know? And obviously after, you know, it sounds cool to have your kid walking at 6 months. No, it's not.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, as you know, like, it's like, can you just stay in the car seat for a little longer? That's totally cool. You know, the crib is your friend.
Yeah.
As soon as you start moving around, like parenting changes instantly.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, we do that all throughout our child's life. We're always putting these things on them that we think are going to give them happiness, joy, and success. And the reality is that they don't know that. They don't know what they want to do. So they need to experiment.
Sure.
Childhood should be a massive playground of experiments. And we have taken that away from our children, whether it's public school and all the stupid testing that we do so the schools
yeah.
get money and the kids to stress the heck out. I mean, I always say we want to solve the problems in this world. A, mom and dad need to be more united. If you're bringing children into the world, you need to have a united community. That's what we're all striving for. Like, second we're on this planet, we're looking for community because community gives
right.
us worth. If we have no worth, we start doing stupid things. And if we have no community, we instantly our worth is impacted. So that's number one. And number two, let your kids play in the mud and with blocks. Like literally, like disconnect them and allow their creativity, their imagination to go wild and see what they create. I mean, Legos is one of the best things ever created and they know it.
For
that's
sure.
why they're freaking
yeah.
$900 a brick. But, you know, let your kids play in the mud and play with bricks and just let them experiment with life. And that's a metaphor, you know, that not, I mean, literally you can let them play in the mud, but the concept is just let them explore, let them make mistakes, let them get hurt, let them kind of find themselves and allow that to happen as early as possible. Man, this world would be a completely different place. So yep. There's a lot of, you know, I was just working with a mutual friend of ours. I won't say his name because it's a personal matter, but
sure.
With his daughter. And he showed me just a quick little Instagram deal that she put up. And based on what I do now, and there's a whole lot more we didn't talk about. I spent 17 years studying the brain and investing in myself. I spent about $2 million investing in this thing, right?
Right.
And so I looked at her and all the work that I do, 15-second Instagram video. He showed it to me, kind of gave me a little background on what was going on with her. And great guy, great family, everything. Shows sure. it to me. I say she's struggling with worth. She's struggling with social pressures. And, you know, all these different things we went over, and he ended up going and talking to her and saying, hey, this, I'd like you to talk with Wes, and here's some things. And he said, this is some of the stuff he said about your Instagram video. And I guess she just started like bawling, wow. being like, how did he know that about me? How did I, and it's A, it's experience. And B, there also is this weird thing happening with me where it's not me. It's just, I'm accepting this gift and this energy right now. But I stepped back and I just thought about all the pressures that are on us.
Yeah.
Even as adults. But it's 100 million times more compounded onto our children. And it's not even from, you know, directly from you or me as fathers, but the world they live in.
Sure.
So this is a really hard period of time to be a parent, because it's not just about our family anymore. It's about our community. It's about social media. It's about all these different things. So anyway, I'm rambling, but.
No, definitely, man. We'll have to have you back on for another segment. So for, you know, it's been awesome. You've so much content and just information to be able to share and allow other people that are out there in the same position or, you know, I mean, just maybe not in the same, but just have your kids and just the social pressures, like you mentioned, and everything else. I mean, it's just a dramatic, shift that people really need to take a look at. And, if not, they're going to wonder how the kids got in that position in the first place. So again, really appreciate you coming on Making Bank. I'm excited to start doing some stuff with you. I know we have one of our other ventures that is going to be partnering up and doing some really cool things with a human project. Let us know where we can get more information at.
Yeah, so you can Google me. I'm on the Google. But go to ahumanproject.com. So ahumanproject.com. You'll get to hear the kids' stories and all that. And one thing I want to make sure, because we may have opened some wounds for people,
sure.
is do not compare your story. You know, we've given some great entrepreneurial tips. I feel like there is some meat in this interview. But if it's on an emotional side, we kind of ended it that way. Do not compare your story. Everybody only understands the pain that they have been through. It's not a comparison thing. Don't compare your story to mine, stories you see on the website. If you're somehow a child that's listening to this, you stumbled across this interview, you know, don't compare yourself to my story or somebody else's. You are you, and you are struggling with what you are struggling with, and it's real. And so I want to make sure we leave that there, because I know a lot of people will maybe be going, well, I don't have it this bad, or I didn't have this, or, you know, it's not about that.
Right.
You only understand what you understand. I don't understand the things that some of our men and women go and serve in the country for our country and things that they've seen in different countries. I don't understand that, but that doesn't make my stress and my challenges any less or any more than theirs, and vice right. versa. It's all what you perceive and what you understand. So please don't be listening to this and going like, oh, I haven't had it this bad, but I'm still having a hard time. It's okay. You understand your hard time. So anyway, wanted to leave that.
Yeah, no problem. And we'll have the link as well right here in the show, so people can click to the link over to the right and be able to go right to you. So, guys, cool. Hey, make sure you guys go back, replay, watch this episode again. Definitely take some notes and, you know, start taking a hard look at your life. Have that self-assessment, self-awareness of, you know, who you are, what you have going on, your family around you. And really make sure that you're setting yourself and family and friends up for success. And again, Wes, thank you for coming on, or Wesley, thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for watching Making Bank today. I am Josh Felber, and get out and be extraordinary.